Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
One of those Zoom thumbs up thingies if you can. Okay, cool. That's really, really helpful, because as we were just praying there before in the time of worship, I really sensed that there was a haze that was been sent from the enemy over some of you. That the Lord really wants to break off some of your minds. And some of you have felt it even over the last week. I feel like some of you have felt it even as you've come into the new year. You know, we have this expectation that we're expecting things to suddenly break open and to get better. We come in with renewed hope and vision and joy and all of that kind of thing. But then somewhere along the line, it's like there was this haze, this cloudiness, this fogginess over minds that's come upon some of you. And I felt the Lord wants to break that. So if that applies to you today, I want to encourage you, put your hand over your heart or your mind or whatever that might look like for you. Just close your eyes for a moment, guys, because these are assignments that are sent from the enemy, but God has come that you might have life fully and abundantly and set you free. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for each and every person here today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your freedom. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray right now in Jesus' name, we cancel every assignment of the enemy. We declare right now the blood of Jesus speaks a better word. We declare right now the power of God comes into your homes, wherever you are right now. I declare the power of God comes upon your mind even now in Jesus' name. I shut down every lie and accusation of the enemy. I shut down every thought of disappointment right now in Jesus' name. I break the cord of hopelessness off some of you now in the name of Jesus. I feel like some of you have come under hopelessness and disappointment. I really felt the word disappointment. Father, we break that power, that we break that demonic spirit, God, that would seek to bring disappointment and discouragement and hopelessness. Father, right now, I declare the fire of God comes upon your people now in Jesus' name. And I command, even some of you are going to feel it lift off immediately. The scripture says that the Lord has not given you a spirit of heaviness, but he has given you a garment of praise. Father, I declare right now in Jesus' mighty name, that Lord, where there has been a oppression of heaviness that has come over souls and come over minds and come over even on physical bodies, I command it to lift off you now in Jesus' name. And Father, I proclaim right now the power of the blood cuts you off from anything that's come against you in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we declare it lifts now. It lifts now. It lifts now in Jesus' name. Some of you might need to stand up. Some of you might need to just lift your hands up to Jesus. You might need to just need to do something. You might need to prophetically pull it off your mind or something like that. Yes. Father, right now, let your presence increase. Holy Spirit, come and lift off every assignment of the enemy that's come against this beautiful church in Jesus' name. I command the fog, the haze, the muddle, the clutter in your mind to lift off you now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 How many of you felt something shift in that moment over your mind? Yeah, come on, come on. Yeah, these are spiritual things that we're dealing with, and so we have to deal with them in the right way in those moments. So I'm really excited to be here. I'm terrible with times. I've already said to Clive or to Sam, one of these guys, just to give me the thumbs up when my time is coming towards the end, like 5 minutes to go, because I can just go. And sometimes when I just, you know, it can be for a long, long time. So I'm going to need a timer. But I get to speak to you guys today about the presence of God, and I'm thrilled. This is good news that I've come to bring you today. The presence of God, the most life-giving thing that Jesus has given to us. When I preach, I sometimes preach a little fast, but it's when I get into like the flow of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not the best sometimes to take notes with. But I hope my heart is that as I speak to you today, for the few minutes I've got, that really the Lord would provoke and stir hunger in you today, that God would stir up a passion for the presence of God, that God would stir up a passion to be with Jesus by the end of today, that there would be something that would awaken in your hunger, in your heart, in your appetite for Jesus Christ. This is a subject I'm really passionate about. This is a subject that I've been transformed by. The presence of God literally has transformed my life. It's been, most of us will testify, when Jesus walks in a room, anything is possible. When Jesus walks in a room, anything is available. When Jesus begins to manifest in a room, something begins to change. Sickness begins to break off. Strongholds begin to get loosed. You know, minds begin to get free. Hearts begin to get free. There is something about the presence of God that transforms and changes our lives, and it conforms us into the image of God. The scripture saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it's verse 17 or 18, but it says that we with unveiled faces beholding the glory of God are being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to another. That means the thing, guys, that you behold, the thing that you reverence, the thing that you revere, actually is the thing that you worship. It's the thing that you're governed by. But that which you behold becomes a God to you. That which becomes a God to you is a thing you begin to look like, you begin to sound like, you begin to imitate. And so if that's not Jesus, that becomes other things. But if it is Jesus, the scriptures promise us that as you behold him, as you set your eyes upon him, as you set your attention, your gaze upon him, that he'll begin to transform you into his image and into his likeness. How many of us want to become more like Jesus? I know I do. I know I need it, because without him, I'm a really bad representative of him. And so I need the presence of God. And that's something I'm so aware of right now in this season that we're in. And this is what I believe God is wanting to get to the heart of the church again, that we need the presence of God, that the Lord is calling for us to be a people that would say, God, I cannot do without your presence. I can't live without you. I have to have the presence of God in every part of my life. And this is something I'm becoming more and more aware of on a daily basis, that I need God's presence. What do I mean by that? I mean, I need the nearness of God. I mean, I need the tangible presence and the hand of God upon my life day in, day out. Guys, this is not conceptual. This is not just like an idea that we think of that sounds nice. Or we talk about the presence of God in terms of, the Emmanuel, God with us. We love that. That's amazing. Absolutely. God is omnipresent. God is all around us. God is Emmanuel, God with us in every circumstance and every, everything you go through in life. But we're talking about the manifest presence of God, you know, the kabod, the weighty glory of God. That means it's tangible, but that means it's experiential. You see, when Jesus saved us, he didn't just save us into the positional union with Christ. He positioned us into that experiential union with Christ as well. It's something to be experienced. The new covenant is not just something to know that you've been saved into. It's something to be experienced on a daily basis. And there are so many believers who are not living in it. There are so many of the church where we're living in a place where we don't experience that presence of God. But this is something that God has called us to. This is something that God has created us to live in, day out. Remember what Jesus said when he said, I have come that you might have life fully and abundantly. Jesus came so that you might be free. Jesus came so you might be whole. Jesus came so you might live in that fullness of life that only he can bring. Some of us have been in bondage. You know, some of you have been in this place of, whether it's sickness, whether it's in the place of addictions, whether it's in the place of just things over your mind where the enemy has been putting fear and shame and all kinds of brokenness. But the presence of God is the antidote. The presence of God is the thing that we're looking for. You know, what is it, guys, that we are longing for on this planet more than anything else? Almost anyone you ask for, it's not going to be money. Why is it that people say money? People say they want money because they believe it's what will satisfy them. This is the heart. This is the condition of every human heart and the longing of the soul. It is what will satisfy me. And C.S. Lewis spoke about it when he said that, you know, for far too often, many of us, it's like we're satisfied with mud hearts. We're satisfied with things that basically do not satisfy us. Jeremiah 2:12 speaks about this, and it says that your people have committed two evils. They've forsaken the fountain of living water for broken cisterns that hold no water. What is he saying? Jeremiah was saying that instead of the people of God digging for themselves a well to enter into the presence of God and be satisfied by that, they have dug for themselves things that hold no water, things that hold no substance. And that's what so many of us do daily, time and time again. We dig for ourselves holes, hoping and looking and for finding something that will satisfy our hearts and our attention and all of that kind of stuff. But the answer has been given to us through Jesus, through that covenantal relationship that was bought for us and won for us on the cross, so that we might live in fullness. This is what the cross has done for us. I'm not saying it's the only thing the cross has done for us. We know that the cross has brought redemption, forgiveness of sins, all of that. But one of those things that that the blood of Jesus has done for us is it has won us access to the throne room of God. And you know what? One of the things I really feel like, and I'm just kind of going with the flow of the Holy Spirit, if that's all right, because I feel like there's a presence of God here this morning that I just feel we need to go with. You know, I would much rather have a message that's built upon the presence than it is just built upon nice ideas and words. That's not going to change anyone's life. And I'm all for good teaching. We need that. But let it be teaching that comes out of the presence of God. Let what we teach and what we speak, let it be something that is fueled by God's presence and God's power. And, you know, one of the things I'm really feeling is just that there are some here who have not recognized the desire that God has to be with you. And this is something we really need to deal with in our hearts, because it's part of what was won for us through the cross. Part of what was won for us through the cross was the veil being torn in two so that we might have access to enter the throne room of God. But yet so many of us still live in this place and this position where we feel like, if we're really honest, I still have to do something to get God to come into my room. I still have to do something to get God to, you know, want to be with me and actually spend time with me. And the truth is this, that God desires to be with you far more than what you desire to be with him. Jesus wants to be with you far more than you want to be with him. He's not holding out on you in this moment. What God is looking for are friends in the earth. You know, the scripture says in Psalm 25, 14, that the Lord makes his covenant. He makes friendship. For he shares the secrets of his heart for those who fear his name. The Lord is looking for friends of God. They're searching throughout the earth. The scripture says that in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, I think it is, where it says that the eyes of the Lord, they go to and fro throughout the earth looking for a heart that is completely his. God is looking for friends. God is looking for a people that would fear his name. God is looking for a people that would desire that presence and desire that fellowship with him. But so often we enter into this place where we feel guilty, we feel shameful, we feel like we have to do all of this stuff first. And I remember I had that mentality for a long time. And the secret place, the times I spent with the Lord, they all began to change when I realized that the Lord wants to be with me far more than I want to be with him. That Jesus actually is waiting for me in my room. That changed my whole paradigm when I began to see it from that perspective. And so I still invite the presence of the Holy Spirit in. I still invite that manifestation of his presence to come and fill my room. But my mindset is different, that God is actually excited and longing and looking forward to being with me on a daily basis. And this is true for you as much as it is for me today, that Jesus really wants to be with you. And so I want to encourage you with that. You know, something that's really challenged and changed my life through suffering. And I think that we're in a year, if there's anything that we've learned from 2020, is that I feel like we've been in a Romans 5 season and we're still in that season. You know, Romans 5, where it talks about, I think it's from verse 3 onwards, where the scriptures talk about that suffering, you know, it says rejoice when you go through trials, because, you know, this suffering that you're going through, these trials that you're going through, guys, they are producing in you an endurance. And then it says that the endurance that they're developing in us is unto a building and a strengthening of character. And that character that then is being produced will then actually produce hope. And hope does not disappoint, you know, because it's been poured into our hearts through the love of God, through the Holy Spirit. And so I really feel like this is a time that we're in as a church at the moment, where we're in a Romans 5 season, where many of us are going through trials. Many of you are going through struggles. Many of you are going through tribulations, things like that, that you've been facing personally in your life. But the Lord would encourage you today. And the Lord would say, you know, through it, God is looking to refine. Through it, God is looking to bring out gold. Through it, God is looking to bring out a development in your character, a development in your endurance. He's looking to pour strength back into your heart even today. And God is looking to pour into you a hope that would not disappoint, but the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, when we're in these times of trial and we're in these times of a challenge, you have options. You have decisions to make. You have the opportunity where you either run to God or you run away from God. The scriptures say in James 4:8, draw near to God and God will draw near to us. There's a promise that's been given to us there. And so I want to encourage you, if you're going through what feels like the valley season, I want to encourage you, if you're going through what feels like suffering in this season, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. This is a time where the Lord's presence wants to meet you, because I tell you what, it's in that place of suffering, it is in that place of brokenness, it is in that place of hardship where the Lord comes to those who desire him. The Lord comes to those who are desperate and needy. The Lord comes to those who would yearn and faint and hunger for him. Remember what David prayed. David prayed in Psalm 27, and he was a man who went through a lot of suffering, but he figured it out and he said, Lord, I have this one desire, this one thing that I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. This is Psalm 27, verse 4, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He figured it out that there was this one thing that he was called to. And I want to exhort you to that today, that if there is one thing that you're called to, whether you're on a mountaintop or whether you're in a valley low, whether you're in the place of suffering or whether you're flourishing in the place of blessing, you've been called to one thing, that is this, to gaze upon him, to behold him, to become like Jesus. The way that we become like Jesus is by spending time with Jesus. We need the presence of God. And you know, this is I was reading one of the great revivalists, A.A. Allen, has been one that has been just on my heart recently. I was sharing with Clive about him just this last week. He's a real general in the faith. He's from like around the 1950s, and he would hold these tent revival meetings from like 10 to 20,000 people. And it was seeing incredible miracles happening. But I've been reading one of his books recently, and this is just something that's gripped my heart. Because you know what, guys, while we're in this season where we're being tested as the church, and we are being tested, God is allowing these things to take place. Why? God is not allowing the shaking so that you would crumble to your knees. God is allowing the great shaking so that actually in that crumbling where you fall to your knees, you would cling to Jesus, and that Jesus would become enough for us. So that why? We build unshakable roots, a depth in our core. This is something that I know that the Lord is really on at the moment, that Jesus wants to build strong roots, strong foundations back into the church again. Why? Because we've built our hope and we've built our foundations and our roots so often on things other than him. Jesus wants to build your roots today back into him. The scriptures say in Psalm 1 that the man who meditates and delights in the law of God is like a tree planted by streams of living water. And it says that in everything he does, he bears fruit, he prospers. His leaves never wither in any season. This is an amazing promise that's given to us. And you and I are called to be like those unshakable trees. We're called to be planted in the streams of water. What are the streams of water? The presence of God. The streams of water is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God. It's the truth of God. Remember, it's the truth that sets us free. We're called to be planted and rooted. Guys, you're called to be rooted, not in the words of man, not in the words of what your family think or your spouse think or your employer at work think. You are not called to have an identity that's built upon that. You're called to have an identity that is established on what the Father says, on what the Bible says, on who Jesus says that you are. But it's also meant to be rooted in that place of God's presence. And so the Lord is looking to build roots. And so, you know what, wherever you find those godly roots, you're going to start to find the presence of God as well, whether that's in your home group, whether that's, you know, in this church setting right here, right now, whether it's in prayer meetings, whether, you know, whatever it might be, that we've got to build our roots deep so that why the Lord can arise an army for his kingdom that are unshakable. We want to be an unshakable people. You know, pray it today. Say, Lord, make me an unshakable man. Make me an unshakable woman. Make me an unshakable warrior in the kingdom of God that will not be swayed to and fro. Remember, the book of James speaks about this, that we would not be tossed by the wind and the waves. We would not have a double-mindedness to us, but we would be strong. We would be steadfast. We'd be firm in the truth that has been given to us. And so there is something that the Lord is doing right now in this hour, which is that the Lord is wanting to establish through the trials, through that suffering that some of us are going through, strong, solid roots. Remember, the Lord doesn't want you to fail. The Lord doesn't want you to fail. The Lord wants you to conquer. Jesus has provided the means through himself. The greatest gift that's been given to us is the gift of God himself to his people. And this is the means that God has given so that you might overcome, so that you might see victory. You know, it's not about us at the end of the day. It's about him. This is all about him. This is entirely what we're living for. If we're not living for Jesus, I don't know what we're living for, but it's going to fail. The kingdoms of this world will fail. Every other god is an idol that does not see, cannot hear, you know, but there is only one true living God. And this is what I'm in this world for. This is what I believe that God has called you and I really for. And so there is this rooting that God is bringing to us. But you know, and there's also gold that God is wanting to bring out. 2020 was a year of dealing with idols, still dealing with idolatry for many of us in the church. Repentance, humility, all of that kind of stuff, confronting, you know, the issues of the heart, all of that. But there is something that I believe that God is wanting to do in 2021, which is really stirring the church again to pray for the baptism of fire, to pray for a baptism of power again. You know, I feel like for so many of us, what has happened over the years is we've settled, we've kind of given up, we've got used to what we think Christianity and church is supposed to look like. But God would have us go back to the book of Acts again. Read Acts chapter 2. Read what happened when they were sat, you know, in that upper room. They were praying and then the tongues of fire came. And then what happened as a result of that, the multitudes that got saved, the multitudes that got healed and free. This is what you and I are called to. And sometimes we think this is just for one or two mighty men or women of God. But I believe this is something that God is saying he is wanting to, you know, release across the church in those last days when he'd pour out his Spirit on all flesh. I believe that God is wanting to pour out a measure of his presence and his Spirit, but God responds so often to our hunger and our want of him. And so God is stirring up a hunger in the church at the moment. Will we contend? Will we will we pursue this presence? Will we pursue this baptism of fire and this baptism of power? And so I've been reading this chapter. I'm just going to read you just an excerpt out of this book because, again, it just stirred something in me. But this is A.A. Allen's book called The Price of God's Miracle Working Power. I encourage you to buy it. This is just how it starts on the first page of the book. It says, "How long had I been here in this closet? Days or just hours? Surely it seemed days since at my own request I had heard my wife lock that closet door from the outside. What would she think about me shutting myself away for so long? Had it really been days or just hours? Was I really getting anywhere with God? Would God answer? Would God satisfy that hunger of my soul? Or would I have to admit defeat again as so often I had done? No, I'd stay right here on my knees until God answered, or I would die in the attempt. Hadn't God's word said that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength? They shall mount up, up, up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall," and then he pauses. And he says, "Had my wife opened the door? No, it was still closed. But the light, where was the light coming from? It was then that I began to realize that the light that was filling my prayer closet was God's glory. It wasn't the closet door that had opened, but rather the door of heaven instead." And I thought this was so great to share in light of what you guys have been sensing, feeling about, you know, this year being, Clive, how did you describe it? The year of the door? The year of the open door. And I just felt that was really interesting that you shared about that this morning. But in this excerpt here, it wasn't the closet door that had opened, but rather the door of heaven instead. The presence of God was so real and powerful that I felt I would die right there on my knees. It seemed that if God came any closer, I could not stand it. Yet I wanted it and was determined to have it. Little wonder that Paul, under like circumstance, fell to the earth in Acts chapter 9, verse 4. No wonder John fell at his feet as though dead in Revelation 1, verse 17. Was this the answer? Was God going to speak to me? Would God at last, after these many years, satisfy my longing heart? I seemed to lose consciousness of everything but the mighty presence of God. I trembled. I tried to see him and then was afraid that I would, for suddenly I realized that should I see him, I would die. Just his glorious presence was enough. Then like a whirlwind, I heard his voice. It was God. He was speaking to me. This was the glorious answer that I had sought so diligently and for which I had waited so long. Yes, this was what I had been waiting for since my conversion at the age of 23. Yes, this is what my longing soul had cried for ever since God called me to the ministry. And I just think this is an incredible testimony. And this is just the beginning of the book that really kind of leads into his ministry, where he's just saw hundreds and thousands of miracles, people walking out of wheelchairs, of demons being cast out, all kinds of things. But I love it because he just touches on the core of what it is in humanity that cries out that there is a longing of the soul that can only be satisfied by the presence of God himself. You know, there's a scripture in Psalm 16:11 that says this, that in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand that there are pleasures evermore. And this is something that the church has been called to. This is something that God has put inside every single one of us, an access and an availability for the presence of God, where we would find fullness of joy. Come on, how many of us want fullness of joy? How many of us want pleasures evermore? But there are so many of us that are not living in fullness of joy. We're not living in pleasures evermore. Why? Because we're not living in the presence of God. And this is not okay. This is not a rebuke to you as a church. I absolutely love you guys. I don't feel like that from the Lord at all, that this is a rebuke. This is an encouragement, though, to seek the presence and the power of God, that God comes to those who wait. God comes and he brings strength to those who wait upon him. God comes to those who desire him. God will come to those who seek him. Remember the thing in Psalm 105, verse 4, it says, Lord, you have said, seek your face. Lord, your face do I seek. There's a promise that's been given to us that for those who seek God will find God. How many of us are going to do that in 2021? How many of us are going to contend that this is the year, Lord, that I will find you? This is the year that I will see you and behold you in the sanctuary. This is the year, Lord, when I will agree with David in Psalm 63 when he says that I will be satisfied with your presence as with the richest of foods. Lord, we declare that this will be a year of being satisfied by the presence of God. Guys, this means it's a year to forsake all the other things. It is a year to throw down the idols. It is a year to throw down those things that have kept you from him. It's a year to see, you know, the cords of pornography broken off. It is a year to see the cords of drug addiction broken off. It is a year to see the bondage of fear and terror that some of you have been under broken off your life. It is a year to see sickness healed in your body, but it is a year for you to get free. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach good news, to set captives free. This is what the gospel does. This is good news, guys. The presence of God comes, and when the presence of God comes, it sets us free. When the presence of God comes, it liberates us. Remember what the scripture says in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where it says, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is a freedom that Jesus has for you and I. This gets me excited preaching this, because this is amazing. We get to be free. You don't have to live in a place that's bound anymore. You don't have to live in a place that's limited anymore. You don't have to live in a place where you don't have joy anymore, and you're under this weight of depression. The presence of God will break that spirit of depression. I'm not necessarily saying everything related to depression is a spirit. I'm not going to get into that, but I will tell you this. It was one of Derek Prince's great testimonies for a man who really carried the anointing of deliverance ministry, and he walked for many years under depression, that it was when the Lord spoke to him through that scripture. And I just felt led to say this now for someone here perhaps today. The Lord spoke to him one day through the scripture in Isaiah where it said, we prayed it earlier on, I have not given you a spirit of heaviness, but I have given you a garment of praise. And in that moment, he realized he came under a spirit. And it was in that very moment that as he cried out to the Lord, it says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But one of the translations of that word can also be all who called upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And so he cried out to the Lord that day, and then the Lord delivered him instantly from depression. And so this is what God is wanting to do. This is what God is wanting to do. And I feel to share this today because I feel like, you know, we have to sometimes break through mindsets, don't we? We sometimes have to break through lies, and we have to break through the things that we've thought and felt before. And I really feel like God is, even right now, he is wanting to stir something for hope in some of you, for freedom. Hope for some of you that things where you felt like things have just always been the same. You've been going around in cycles. But the Lord would say that, no, 2021 is the year where my presence is going to break into your life in such a way that you're going to see the removal and the upheaval of those things that have bound you and kept you from being who God has called you to be. And the Lord is going to see you come into the place of liberty. This is what we were made for, guys, to enjoy him. And there's the Westminster Catechism is this. I love this because this is at the heart of why we should pursue the presence of God. There are many reasons. One of them is this, that we were created for it. You know, this is what you were born for. This is what was, again, I mentioned earlier, was accomplished through the cross, was actually the ability to experience and enjoy this friendship and this new covenant that's been given to us, where we've been reconciled to the Father through the blood. But the Westminster Catechism says this, that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And in later times, John Piper just changed it. Oh, no, Jonathan Edwards, sorry, changed it slightly to the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever, which is where this phrase came out, you know, that the God is most glorified in you and you are most satisfied in him. And I love that. I think it's beautiful that the way God is most supremely glorified in each of us is when we're enjoying him and when we're satisfied by him more than anything else. The presence of God is the person of God. This is what we're talking about when we're referring to God's presence. We're not, again, talking about mere ideas. We are talking about a person. You are talking about an actual person that the Lord wants us to know. We have to be a people that not merely talk about him, but we have to be a people that walk with him. We have to be a people that live in that place of constant communion with him. If you look at some of the great saints, the Smith Wigglesworths, I think maybe even the A.W. Tozer, some of those, but I remember Smith Wigglesworth in particular. How many of you know him? I got 5 minutes. Okay, that's good. All right. I hope this is going okay for you guys and you're with me. Do you guys know Smith Wigglesworth, some of you? Okay, cool. All right, I'm getting some nods. All right, that's good. I can't see everyone on the pages, so I'm just looking at this beautiful first page I've got of people's faces staring at me, which is great. But Smith, you know, he was renowned for the amount of people that he saw raised from the dead, for the amount of people that he saw saved, all of this kind of stuff. One of the things that he emphasized more than anything else that was a key to his ministry was not only that baptism of power that we must cry out for again, church, but it was also this: living in unbroken communion with God. What did he mean by that? He meant living in continual fellowship with Jesus. He meant living that no matter what you're doing, whether you're going to the shops, whether you're just going downstairs to get a cup of tea in the morning, whatever it is, living in a place where your fellowship and your communion with Jesus is never separated, but is always entwined and always one, is always manifested. So you live continually in that state. Imagine yourself hand in hand with a spouse or a family member or a best friend, whatever. Imagine that. So you live continually in this place. Remember, not conceptually, but experientially, hand in hand with the Lord. And the only way that that fellowship is maintained and sustained is going to be through the secret place. And this is the key. This is like the crux to the presence of God for all of us who want to see the increased measure of God's presence and God's face touching and illuminating our hearts and our minds and our lives. It comes through the being in the secret place with Jesus. It comes through dwelling with him. It comes through spending time with him. It comes through waiting on him. You know, many of us are looking for the power encounter. And that's not a bad thing. Many of the testimonies of these men were that they had this baptism of fire that came in an encounter like A.A. Allen, where he said he felt like he was going to die. But I'll tell you what, that the sustaining of that intimacy only comes through being in the secret place daily with him. It only comes through setting aside the time to fellowship and be with him. This is not a case of, Lord, I pray for it, bang, the presence of God hits me, my life has changed forever, and that's it. And then I never have to spend time with the Lord again. No. God is wanting to stir up an appetite in each of us where he would become the most desirable person to us on the planet. He'd become the most desirable thing to us in the world, where it would be our greatest joy to be in his presence every day. Wouldn't be a burden. It wouldn't be even something that's even a struggle. This would become our greatest gift and our greatest joy. Guys, I used to live in that place, like so many Christians, where I found it hard being in the presence of God, where I'm like, oh, 20 minutes in and I'm getting bored and I don't know what to do with myself. Like, I'm sure many of us, please tell me some of you could relate to that. I feel like most of us, at least at some point, will be able to relate to that. I used to live in that place. My mind was cluttered by other things. So what changed it? When Jesus became my greatest fascination, let me tell you this, that distraction begins to be removed from your life when Jesus becomes the great attraction. Distraction is normally fueled by something else taking our mind, taking our attention, taking our affection, even whether it's bad. It doesn't necessarily mean taking our affection in terms of enjoyment, but in terms of fear or, you know, things that weigh upon us. Whatever it is that has become the greatest, you know, value in your life, the greatest of attention to you, even things like fear, you know, that will be the thing that will dominate your time, even in the presence of the Lord. The Lord wants to become that great attraction to you and to me. And I remember, you know, it was actually, it took for me going through a period of suffering to really, really, really change this. And it was only when I went through the fire, only when I went through the shaking myself about 7 years ago, only when I went through some really, really deep pain and hardship. So I don't have time to go into now. But it was in that place that I found Jesus. And the Lord said to me, son, in this time, I'm going to realign and rearrange your relationship with me. And I'm going to start to reveal myself to you as a shepherd. And I'm going to rebirth and awaken in you an intimacy with me like you've not had before. And I said, well, Lord, I thought I already knew you well. And he said, no. And so I had to learn the hard way in that time through suffering then to cling on to Jesus. And you know what, guys, in that time, I spent hours with the Lord. And this is not a boasting thing. This has nothing to do with it. This is just the reality. Why? Because I was desperate for him. When you're suffering, when you're going through hardship, you realize that's when you're desperate for him. He's the only thing that will do. He's the only thing that can change you. He's the only thing that can break you through to whatever it is you need. And so it was really through that suffering that the Lord's presence began to sweep into my room. I spent hours, day after day, weeping before the Lord. And from that moment, my secret place with the Lord, it changed from that moment onwards. And I realized that everything was different. And so I really want to encourage you. I know I'm out of time, and I know there's so much to say on this, but I want to encourage you today. Guys, do whatever you can. Get away in the secret place, like in Matthew chapter 6. Shut the door behind you. Go lock away with Jesus and let the presence of God transform your life. Jesus wants you to experience fullness of life in him. Bless you.